Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, April 13th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, most of the snow is melted. Temperatures are on the rise around the region, and many people are looking to enjoy the outdoors. Boy, aren't you lucky. We have a panel of hiking and biking experts in the studio today to answer your questions and help you find the best trails and routes to take. Give us a call, 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You can also email your hiking or biking or both question at voxpopwamc.org. Voxpopwamc.org is the email address. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. We got your hiking. We got your biking. We got your calls. It all begins after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Temperatures are rising. Many folks in the region want to get outside and enjoy the outdoors by hiking and biking. Well, we have a group of experts in the studio to help you make the most of your time in the great outdoors. Samantha Moranville is the co-owner of Revolution Bicycles in Saugerties. As a photographer, she contributed to Bicycling and Mountain Bike Magazine and other publications. Tad Ames is president of the Berkshire Natural Resources Council. He was also chairman of the Massachusetts Board of Environmental Management. And finally, Neil Woodworth is the executive director of the Adirondack Mountain Club. Neil knows WAMC well. His brother is our jack-of-all-trades, director of buildings and grounds, Woody Woodruff. Samantha, Tad, Neil, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having us.
Great to be here.
And our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. God, the weather is finally beautiful. I was just out. I took a little hike out front during the news, and it is fantastic. The skies are blue, some puffy cumulus clouds. It's cool. It's nice. This is the time to get outside. And as all three of you said, we are blessed with an area which is just has amazing hiking opportunities.
Oh, and not to mention that this is a great time of year to get started because the bugs haven't come out yet.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get attacked by mosquitoes while you're on the trails.
Has anyone done any sort of an accounting of how many miles of trails, of hiking and biking trails we have in the greater Northeast?
I can't speak for biking, but we have about 3,500 miles of hiking trails in New York and New England.
Wow.
And and for cycling, I mean, it's not just about trails. You know, what I love about this region is our incredible backcountry roads that are so scenic and quiet, and you don't even need a trail. You can just go forever, you know. And then we also have down in my region in the Kingston area, we have some really splendid rail trails. We have the Wallkill Valley Rail Trail, and we also have the Hurley O&W Rail Trail that just go forever. You can take the Wallkill Valley, you can start in Kingston, and you can take it all the way past Gardner and into, I'm not even actually sure where it ends.
It never ends.
Well, and the great thing about the region is that we've got such diversity. There's something for everyone here, really. There's water, there are high alpine areas in the Adirondacks, there are mellow walks through grasslands in the Berkshires. It's just terrific.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Tad, as a director of the Berkshire Natural Resources Council, you're involved in this project, this huge project, trail project. Explain this.
Yeah, in the Berkshires, we have so much conservation land, about 40% of our area, and we have miles and miles and miles, hundreds of miles of trails. Our goal at Berkshire Natural Resources Council is to create what we're calling the high road in the Berkshires. It's a long-range vision of linking together conservation lands and creating trails that will allow people to walk from town to town through nature, so that whether you want to take a half-hour lunch break walk or maybe take a three-day trek across the county, staying in inns or bed and breakfast at night, we want to make that possible in the Berkshires.
What are some of the challenges you have had in putting this together?
Well, we are trying to collaborate with many different landowners. Some are private landowners, some of whom are very enthusiastic about the idea, others of whom have reservations. But we're also dealing with state agencies, town governments, other nonprofit organizations that own land. So trying to put together a network that will meet everyone's goals without creating any trouble is a great political challenge.
And how's that working out for you?
It's working out really well. We are learning a lot as we go. I'm grateful to our colleagues who point out where we're putting a foot wrong. And so it's a constant process of improvement, and we are making great progress.
Our number here is 800-348-2551 on this hiking and biking edition of Vox Pop. As the weather gets nice, and of course, Neil, you're the executive director of the Adirondack Mountain Club. This is hiking time, and my producer, Jim Lavoulis, avid hiker and biker. Not so much. But he wanted me to ask you guys some of the tips for those who want to first give hiking a try.
Well, I think that it's the best way to give hiking a try is to get involved with a hiking organization like the Adirondack Mountain Club or the Taconic Hiking Club, because a lot of people these days have not had the Boy Scout experience or the Girl Scout experience, so they really are coming to the outdoors without a lot of background.
Well, I mean, on the face of it, it's you put one foot in front of the other, and you're done.
You know, last year, the Forest Rangers in New York did 356 rescues. A lot of people end up in places like the Adirondack High Peaks, where right now, up on the peaks, you have winter conditions.
Right.
You would need snowshoes and crampons.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of folks end up going into the woods with a cell phone, but not with a map and compass, not with layered polypropylene clothing, boots that can resist wetness and getting cold. You really need to be taught how to pack a day pack and what to bring.
What goes in it?
As I said, critical to have a map and compass. So many people end up having to call for help to the rangers because they get to a trail junction, and if they don't know east or west or north or south, they don't know which trail to get them back to their cars. If they haven't brought a flashlight and they get a late start, often they're benighted, and then they have to call for help.
Mm. And I imagine the cell coverage isn't all that swell in some of those areas.
Well, you know, remarkably, up on top of the Adirondack High Peaks, you've got a pretty good cell coverage to Lake Placid. But it does tend to be a crutch, and people will take a cell phone when they won't take those other essentials I mentioned, and they can get into real trouble.
Any fatalities?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
You know, over the years, we've had scores of people die on Mount Marcy.
In winter time, though, right?
It largely in the winter, but remember that in the shoulder seasons of spring and fall, hypothermia, you know, getting wet and cold and losing body heat is a killer. And basically the first thing to go is your mental judgment. So you lose track of where you are, or you don't eat when you're supposed to, because it's important to eat frequently and drinking water frequently, and you have to bring those with you.
Okay, but and again, I'll put this to our hikers. It's a lot of stuff to bring. How do you manage the weight? In other words, if you are going to hike and you have to bring water and blankets and flashlights and food enough for X number of days, how the hell are you going to lift all that stuff? Where's the fun in that?
Well, it's not. It's
unless you have a Sherpa.
You don't have to bring all that much, and it's not very heavy. You don't have to bring blankets, for example. You should bring like a shell jacket and a rain jacket or a parka.
Hydro pack.
You should buy not a little teardrop pack. You should buy a pack that's large enough so that you can layer your clothing up and down.
Mm.
Good idea when you're hiking in the mountains to bring a couple quarts of water or beverage. Bring some snack food and some sandwiches, just be prepared to have the clothing you need if the weather changes, because in both the Catskills and Adirondacks, the weather can change in half an hour.
Mm. Well, the same is true in the Berkshires, and I think Neil's making some really great points. If you're planning an ambitious trip where you're going to be gaining a lot of elevation or going into the backcountry, but for someone who's looking just to try and get outdoors, there are lots of hikes that are quite short and easy to do and
flat, relatively flat.
Relatively flat.
That's good.
I would Google you know, hikes near me that are really easy. Pick something that's a mile or less if you're, and then I think carrying a small bottle of water and retracing your steps if you feel like you get in over your head.
But a compass is always a smart thing to have, and they're pretty easy to figure out how to use.
Yes.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Tad Ames, president of the Berkshire Natural Resources Council, Neil Woodworth, the executive director of the Adirondack Mountain Club, and Samantha Moranville, who is co-owner of Revolution Bikes or Bicycles in Saugerties. You mentioned road biking, Samantha, and then you mentioned trail biking. These aren't the same bikes. I mean, I got an old Schwinn from 1973. I don't think that's going to go on the trails too well.
Well, I'm thrilled by the product availability for 2017 because what you just described has been a conundrum for a lot of cyclists for a long time. You know, if you could only have one bike, what would it be? You know, previously you might have been forced to kind of make a choice. But these days, we're all, at my store, we're all about the adventure. So, you know, we want to get you on a bike that you can take on the road and do 20 miles on the road. And then if you see a dirt road that looks, you know, intriguing or you want to take the rail trail back, you can jump on that trail and come back on that, too. And there's a great range of product out there now that you can do that with.
But don't the wheels have to be different?
There's greater versatility. So, for instance, you could go with what's considered a dual sport bike, which has the 700C diameter wheel, which is like a standard road bike, but you get something with a little wider tire with a little bit more grip on it, and then it has a shock in the front, which will absorb the bumps if you're on a rocky road. But then when you get out on the smooth pavement, you can lock out the shock so it goes full rigid. So now you kind of convert your bike on the fly.
Well,
that's nice. Yeah, and there's also gravel grinders, which are road bikes that, you know, that's a new category of bike that we're pretty excited about. It's a road bike, but it's built with an endurance geometry. It's built for comfort over a longer mileage, and it's more resilient, and it can absorb those bumps so you can transfer from road to dirt.
Do you race at all?
No, I ride for fun. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's take a quick break here. Our number is 800-348-2551. We're joined by Tad Ames, Neil Woodworth, and Samantha Moranville. It's Hiking and Biking on the show today. We'll get to your calls and your emails coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001. StoneSoupConcrete.com and on Facebook. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, protecting the land that protects the lake, offering more than 32 miles of trails for hiking, birding, and outdoor exploration. HikeLakeGeorge.org. Clipcentric Albany, a local video services division of Clipcentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV. Albany.clipcentric.com. Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years. QFCC.com. And the Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings. HenyonBakery.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here with you at 2:21 on your, is it Thursday already? My heavens. It is Thursday. We talk hiking and biking today with Tad Ames, Samantha Moranville, and Neil Woodworth. And the number is 800-348-2551. You can also email voxpop@wamc.org, just like these people did. And before we get to the phones, here is an email from Manny in Albany. Dear Vox Pop panel, one word, ticks. There have been various reports mentioning that this year will be the worst ever. Your thoughts? And that's from Manny.
Well, my thought is anytime you're outdoors, ticks are a possibility. You don't find them often as much on a real well-used trail, but if you're walking in the brush or the forest, you definitely could pick up a tick. At night, strip down when you get home. Sometimes it helps to have someone help you if that's available. Just take a look. Take them off you. You'll be okay. You just need to be vigilant.
I think another thing to remember is how you're dressed, and basically wear long pants. Nylon is good, and then basically pull your hiking socks up over the cuffs of your pants,
mm-hmm.
and then I spray a little DEET on the outside, and that helps a lot. And the point was made that if you're on like a hiking trail in the Adirondacks or Catskills, you're quite safe from ticks.
But it's not 100% full.
It's not 100%. If you're walking through a field in Columbia County or Dutchess County, you're going to get ticks.
Yeah.
But if you're on a hiking trail in the Adirondacks or the Catskills and you don't go through brush and you know, the typical woods trail is not really going to have ticks.
Okay.
I've hiked thousands of miles in the Adirondacks and Catskills, and I've never gotten a tick.
What about wild animals? Should you bring a weapon of some kind?
No.
No? You sure?
I'll tell you. The only time that you'll ever get in trouble with a wild animal, I think, in the Adirondacks or Catskills, if you try to feed a bear.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
No.
Have
you come in contact with bears in
oh,
your
yes.
time?
Oh, yes.
I heard that they do not like singing or yelling loudly.
Well, once, probably not the best advice in the world. I was camping in a remote location in the Five Ponds Wilderness with my wife, and a bear basically came into our campsite because I had left a little cheese wrapper in the fireplace.
Oh.
And so we heard some harumphing and shined my little flashlight out the tent door, and there was a female bear about 5 feet from the tent.
Oh, boy.
So I grabbed our cook kit, and I basically banged
yeah.
it together, and that was all that I needed to do.
I heard loud noises and high pitch. I mean, I thought I'd bring Shartok with me if I went hiking. And be loud enough and shrill enough that it would scare most animals away.
Well, perhaps.
No.
Most animals, honestly, will stay far away from you.
This question came in from Mary, who writes, what outdoor activities and places in this area would today's guest recommend for people who have mobility or sensory limitations? And that's from Mary.
Well, there are a few in the Berkshires. I can't speak to the Adirondacks or elsewhere, but our organization, Berkshire Natural Resources Council, owns a one trail called the Old Mill Trail in Hinsdale, Massachusetts. You can find it on our website, bnrc.org, which is universally accessible. Beautiful trail along the east branch of the Housatonic River. I also believe that Mass Audubon at the Pleasant Valley Sanctuary has a sensory trail. I'd have to confirm that, but there are possibilities, and I would say a Google search could probably.
What is a sensory trail?
Well, I think that you're using more of you're using senses other than your eyesight to do some navigating and to experience the outdoors.
A good place in the greater Capital District area is the Five Ponds Environmental Education Center outside of Slingerlands.
Mm-hmm. Five Rivers?
Five Rivers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Neil Woodworth of the Adirondack Mountain Club, Tad Ames of the Berkshire Natural Resources Council, and Samantha Moranville of Revolution Bicycles in Saugerties. Let's go to the phones. And James in Springfield, you are first. James.
Hi. Love the program. And I've spent a lot of time in my 20s and 30s up in the Adirondacks, and absolutely loved that region. Switched from the White Mountains to the Adirondacks, and I never went back.
Mm.
Did a lot of fall and winter hiking, 4 or 5 days in a row. But I can't stress enough for the novices or the people that are just starting out. I went out hiking with people that knew how to hike, and they knew all the little what to wear. Clothing and food to pack, and you could also read up on it. But going out there with an experienced hiker, especially in that region, would be recommended. You get trapped on a mountain, starts to freezing rain, and you're in the fall. You better have somebody that knows what they're doing.
We have the Adirondack Mountain Club. And the Appalachian Mountain Club also does this in the White Mountains. We do it in the Adirondacks. We have a winter mountaineering school, and we there's classroom work, but then we get people out there hiking and camping in the winter, and it's a great way to teach skills from really experienced people who have done a lot of winter camping.
I mean, there has to be a first time for everybody, and not everybody has access to somebody who has done it before. And so where are the resources for that person who says, gosh, I want to get my feet wet and start this? Where do they learn?
Well, lots of groups. I mean, Neil's mentioned that their organization, Adirondack Mountain Club, runs hikes, and so do we. We run three or four free hikes every month. We're not alone in the Berkshires in doing that. And what we found is sometimes they're very experienced hikers, but they've never been to a particular place.
Yeah.
And they want to go there first with someone who knows the ropes, who can say, yep, and this is the steep pitch. This is the place where having a hiking pole might help you walk. And once they've, you know, sort of gotten their feet wet, so to speak, they're a lot more comfortable going back alone or with a friend.
What's the toughest hike in the 46 high peaks, Neil?
I'd say some of the trailless peaks, perhaps the Seward Range or the Santinoni Range, fairly long hikes with quite a bit of elevation. And of course, it really depends on the season you're doing them.
Hmm.
For me, the Great Range, Mount Marcy, Skylight, Haystack is my favorite because it comes to a very small top where you can see a magnificent 360-degree view,
mm-hmm.
and the land falls away in all directions. And, you know, on a great day, you can see 100 miles.
Is cool. Samantha, do you do any off-road biking?
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
Uh-huh, yeah. That's sort of how I ended up getting married. Was
really? Just
yeah.
found the guy on the trail up in the mountain?
He was my boyfriend at the time, but he wanted a girlfriend who was into mountain biking, and he couldn't find one, so he just made one out of me. There's great mountain biking in this region. As a matter of fact, my girlfriend and I tomorrow are going to go to Elm Ridge, which is the Wyndham Trails. 909, which is further down, closer to Poughkeepsie, is one of my favorite places. Ferncliff State Forest, it's not State Forest, but it's Ferncliff Forest is right by Rhinecliff. That area has been really developed. Ed Fetzer, who's a friend of ours, has put a lot of effort into developing the trails there. And the cool thing about a lot of these mountain biking trails is that they're also obviously open to hiking. If you wanted to try mountain biking and you haven't done it before, I like Ferncliff a lot because it's a little bit, there's a variety of trails. You
so
know,
it's akin to
ability.
A novice run on a ski slope?
Well, no. I mean, there's a variety of ability levels within that park. So you could start out and stick to the easier stuff. And then as you progress, you could start taking on the harder trails.
I imagine there are those who say, gee, I want to do this, and they're the first time, and perhaps they're not physically fit enough, and they get halfway and say, well, now I'm stuck.
Well, you know, here's the thing about it. You can always just get off and walk, you know. It's not the end of the world. There's no shame in getting off the bike and walking, you know. Physical fitness is a huge part of it, especially getting used to mountain biking because you have to develop not only the technical skills to navigate over roots and rocks and, difficult terrain, but you also have to have the heart and lungs and muscles to push through a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones here, 800-348-2551. And Scott in Saratoga. Scott, you're on.
Hey there. Great show. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My son and I are looking for he's 6 years old, and we're looking for some good trails for him and his friends to possibly go on in the southern Adirondacks. I didn't know if you guys had any recommendations for that kind of an age range.
Well, I think I would suggest there is a great fire tower peak, Hadley Mountain, not far from you, just west of Hadley, and great climb for a six-year-old. It's got some nice rock slabs, so the kids can really feel like they're experiencing real climbing, and the view from the fire tower is spectacular. And they're usually, as you get into closer to the summer months, there is actually a fire tower observer that is there to teach the children about the Adirondacks, about the animals, and something about the history of fire towers. Fantastic. Another fire tower that's close by is Cane Mountain in Fulton County near Caroga Lake.
And the fire towers are still manned and still doing what they're supposed to be doing?
They're no longer used for fire detection. Planes do that today. Aircraft mm-hmm. do that today. But organizations that feel strongly about preserving the tradition of fire towers maintain the fire towers, have restored the cabs of the fire towers so you can see what the fire observer used to detect fires, and they keep them safe. And usually there's a ranger cabin that the old fire observers used, and that's kind of a base of operations for those interpreters.
Hmm. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Neil Woodworth is the executive director of Adirondack Mountain Club. Tad Ames is president of the Berkshire Natural Resources Council, and Samantha Moranville is co-owner of Revolution Bicycles in Saugerties. And over to Dennis in Greenfield Center. Dennis, you're on.
Oh, hi there. Yes, my name's Dennis, and I live in Saratoga County, and I know somebody had just called about accessible, more accessible for people with mobility problems.
Yeah.
Saratoga County has a lot of available trails, so you can actually Google that. I'm on an advisory council for the DEC, and they actually have an accessibility coordinator. You could look up that person, or you could find out more through the DEC, but the advisory council is to try to help and promote when they're planning or rebuilding or creating trails or maybe modifying old trails, when they're doing that, to see if it's accessible. And also at Parks and Recreation, they have a New York Trails Council, and I'm on that also, and that's through Parks and Recreation.
Okay.
But it's for a variety of users. And I don't know if you're getting to just walking, hiking, or are you talking about other kind of users on trails also, but the New York Trails Council covers horses and hiking and snowshoeing and cross-country skiing. And for water trails, too, I have my own kayak I built myself. I have a hand cycle.
Hmm.
I'd like to have an off-road hand cycle. Mine's more of a street cycle. But I use a wheelchair, so I'm very interested in finding out more about accessibility all the time. But I do have some good references for you. If you want a really nice remote Adirondack experience, you go to John Dillon Park. It's near Long Lake.
You're nodding, Neil?
John?
Yes.
Pardon me?
John Dillon Park is an excellent recommendation. It's a great place if you like kayaking or canoeing. The facilities, as you know, there are designed to make that easy.
Right, and free.
And
beautiful. I mean, stunningly beautiful and pristine.
All right, Dennis, thanks a lot for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Tad Ames, the High Road Project. You had mentioned that the goal is to connect towns and I guess ostensibly businesses and taverns and lodges through trails. Have the businesses been on board with this?
Yeah, the hospitality industry especially has just jumped all over it. They
really
love the idea. Yeah, they want to attract more people for longer in the year. And, you know, we fill up in the Berkshires in July and August, but some of the best times to be outdoors are May, June, September, October.
November. Those are my favorites. Yeah.
This is something that really appeals to them, and they've been very supportive of us.
Cool. Over to line four, and Bob in lovely Plattsburgh, New York. Bob, you're on.
Hi. I've never hiked in the Adirondacks. I've hiked in the southwest U.S. and out west, and I'm curious about the black fly season. A buddy of mine and I are thinking about doing some camping and hiking sometime around May, and I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about how to avoid the black fly season and do any of the repellents work.
Well, I can answer the question that if it's black fly season, you're not going to avoid them. Basically it's kind of hard to tell you when black fly season will start, but as soon as the snow melt has the streams running fast, black flies need a fresh aerated water to hatch, so in about mid-May they'll begin to come out. And depending on the amount of rainfall and whether the streams stay up, you can have black flies through July. But a good way to protect yourself is wear lightweight nylon pants and shirts and a hat. And DEET repellent works pretty well, but I never spray it on my skin.
Just on your clothing.
Just on my clothing. And if I need to protect my neck or the back of my neck, I'll use a kerchief with a little DEET.
Okay, so there's no escaping it once the water starts running till at least mid-July to late July.
You can have black flies.
All right. Thanks, Bob. We appreciate the call. What about skeeters? How about the mosquitoes up there?
You know, you will encounter mosquitoes, but frankly, I think the worst insect in the woods is the deer fly.
Yeah.
They're fast, they're smart, they're hard to kill, and during the height of deer fly season, they're just a problem.
Yeah, unless you're on a bike, then you just outrun them.
You see, there's the advantage.
Just keep moving.
Of the biking. Keep moving.
But as soon as you stop, that's when...
Is the deer fly the same as the horse fly? Horse fly used to be the one I hated the most.
Well, the thing about horse flies is there are not very many of them.
And
they're relatively easy to kill.
All right. Not that we're recommending anyone kill anything, boys and girls. All right, let's take a break. 800-348-2551. It is hiking and biking today. Tad Ames, Samantha Moranville, and Neil Woodworth. And you, 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Stavros, helping people with disabilities achieve their dreams. Offices in Amherst, Greenfield, and Springfield. Stavros.org for more information. Jane Iredale, a mineral makeup company specializing in makeup that is good for the skin. Jane Iredale Retail Shop at Louisa Ellis Boutique, Great Barrington. JaneIredale.com. Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York. Providing eyeglasses, including Bevel, Lafont, and Pro Design, progressive lenses from Verilux and Nikon, and Maui Jim, Costa, and Ray-Ban sunglasses, SHEEHYOpticians.com. And George Propane, Goshen, Massachusetts, family-owned and operated for over 75 years, serving Western Massachusetts with propane and full-service heating and plumbing installation, services, and deliveries, GeorgePropane.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, hiking and biking today with Tad Ames, Neil Woodworth, and Samantha Moranville. And I had no idea. I'm listening in the break here. I didn't know that the hikers and the bikers sometimes are at odds. This is interesting.
Oh.
Really?
Well, I don't like to say that we're at odds, but...
Well, I saw some bad blood
here. I think
there
can be some conditioning of the other, you know.
Not bad blood. What there is though, that bikes move quietly and quickly.
Yes,
and so they have to be aware that they might be coming up.
Yeah.
Encountering a hiker around some corner. And,
right.
And hikers, you know, don't want to get knocked off the trail by a bike going too fast.
Right. And you know, and definitely cyclists, you know, we kind of tend to be we tend to be the ones who get in trouble,
we have more kinetic energy.
Right. You know, so I think generally anybody who's into cycling, I think in the back of everyone's mind is we all want to be a good citizen when we're on the trail, and we all want to be polite and respectful of others. And so that includes, you know, when you are coming up behind somebody, well, first of all, you know, have a bell, perhaps.
Well, that's
a
good idea.
And then
baseball cards in the spokes,
right?
That'll work.
But you know what? When I'm coming up behind someone, I slow down. I say, hi, I'm on your left. You know, I'm going to pass you on your left. You know, if it's a shared use trail with horses, it's always a good idea to dismount and stand to the side of the trail, let the horse pass before you get back on your bike and ride. And, you know, and I don't see any reason why we can't all get along.
So courtesy is the key word here,
courtesy. Right. Just treat others the way you want to be treated, and we'll all be fine.
All right. Now, before we get back to the phones, let's do what I like to call the shameless self-promotion segment of the program. And I know each of you have some things you want to bring up real quickly. So, Samantha, I know that it's the tour to Kingston,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. This is our favorite event of the season. It's on June 25th this year. It begins in Uptown Kingston at Forsyth Nature Center. It's a great day of cycling for, all abilities and levels and all ages. We work with a bunch of different people, the YMCA, the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley, Alan Nace puts it together, My Bike Shop Revolution, Famous Bike Brothers. So what we do is we put together a whole bunch of rides. One of them is a 50-mile road ride. There's a 25-mile road ride. And then I think there's like a 10 or a 5-mile family ride that goes around Uptown Kingston, which is gorgeous. We have, you know, Dutch stone houses from, you know, hundreds of years ago. And then my personal favorite is the 28-mile adventure ride. And previously I mentioned that we have the Wallkill Valley Rail Trail and the Hurley and O&W Rail Trail. And what we've done with this, Steve, my colleague slash husband, developed this ride. So we start out on the Hurley O&W Trail, ride that out, get on the road, do some pretty crazy hill climbs, and then connect it to the Wallkill Valley Rail Trail and come back.
Oh, nice.
So it's a big day, super fun.
How long does it take to do that?
Well, it depends on how fast you are.
two, 3 days?
Three, four hours. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we make a pit stop and hang out by a waterfall. And if you're not up for that yet, you can do a shortened. There's an 18-mile version.
18 miles.
But, you know,
I'll take my old Rambler.
It's fun. You know, there's a couple hundred people. You get to know people. There's a lot of camaraderie. Afterwards, there's a big barbecue. Everybody
cool.
hangs out.
How can we find out more about that?
Go to tourtokingston.com. I don't know.
Oh, boy. Dot, I don't know.
It's well, either
we,
dot
we have information
dot
on your website. I know we
oh,
linked
yeah, yeah.
to
go
yours
to, go
on
to
our
my,
website.
Go to my website. It's revolutionbikesny.com.
Okay,
and
enough.
There's the rides and events, and you can and there's a bunch of stuff on there, and you can link to the rides.
And again, we have linked to all these sites from our Vox Pop page for today's show. Now, Tad Ames, big anniversary coming up, yeah?
Yes. Our big high road project is really timed to coincide with our 50th anniversary that we're celebrating this year. And we have a series of special events. I think the next one is a botanical sketching outing on May 13th.
Cool. Bring your own paper?
You got to check the website to see what you need to bring. But it's really, it's entry level, low barrier.
Okay.
And we are culminating the summer with a big celebration at Holiday Farm in Dalton for the community. A day-long event of hikes, hay rides, raptors, fishing, food, beer.
I
cool.
Do that.
Learn it had me a beer.
Learn all about it at bnrc.org/50.
All right. And Neil, we had a caller mentioning opportunities to help out and work on some of these trails.
Yeah. There's a lot of opportunities with the Adirondack Mountain Club, the Taconic Hiking Club, the Catskill 3500 Club, the Adirondack 46ers. All of those groups, both at the chapter level in the Capital District, we have the Albany chapter, the Schenectady chapter, the Glens Falls Saratoga chapter. Each of those chapters has volunteer trail crews. And then the club itself, on a statewide basis, we have a big event coming up on June 3rd. It's National Trails Day all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, National Trails Day for the Adirondack Mountain Club will be based in the High Peaks. But we have 20 or more trips that people can sign up for and learn basically to do trail maintenance. It's a great way to give back and feel good about learning how to take care of the wilderness.
This is great. Now, the trail maintenance aspect of your club and clubs, you shut it down in November and then you're done until spring, or do you go all year long?
We don't work in the winter,
yeah.
We have spring and fall trail days where in the spring, we're clearing the trails of blow-down trees and clipping them back ready for the summer season. And in the fall, it's a matter of managing mud by clearing out water bars, which are structures that we put in trails so that we direct the water off the trail.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can keep steep Adirondack trails from becoming rivers by cleaning out water bars, that's good work to do.
And how do people get in touch and find out about that?
Just go to our website, www.adk.org.
Okay. And again, we have links to all these sites that we've mentioned right on our website, wamc.org/voxpop. Let's go over to Jeffrey in Great Barrington. Jeffrey, you're on.
Yes, hi. I live in Western Massachusetts. I've been climbing in the High Peak region of the Adirondacks for years. I have a question. If any of you know about the existence of historical trails, what comes to mind is something like the Knox Trail, where we could retrace the steps of historical events.
Tad.
Yeah, the Knox Trail across the southern Berkshires, General Knox bringing the cannon back from, Ticonderoga, is one such trail.
Is that actually a trail that we could retrace?
There are bits and pieces of it. Some of the actual locations are a little elusive, hard to pin down. I think more people claim that they're on the Knox Trail than may actually be.
Yeah. So there's the opportunity for some research there.
There's absolutely the opportunity
for
research.
There's a cool one in New York. I mean, maybe that's too far away from the collar, but there's one. It's the Aqueduct Trail, and it's part of the Benedict Arnold escape route.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we did it on bike one time. We started out in New York City, and we rode up through the Bronx, and we stayed on this trail, this aqueduct trail, and along the way there were all these little historical markers talking about Benedict Arnold, and then it was this crazy thing, and then we rode it all the way up and finally ended up in Tarrytown.
Wow.
And, yeah, parts of it go through people's backyards. It's
And how do they feel about you taking the bike through?
I don't know. They weren't there, so I just...
But another interesting one in New York State is the Erie Canalway Trail.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that one's really
cool,
too.
Which is good for bikers and is really part of a much bigger plan that the state has now gotten behind in partnership with Parks and Trails New York, called the Empire State Trail.
Yeah,
which
that's...
Which is to link something like 750
miles.
Yeah,
that's super exciting. I think Mike Hine is one of the big promoters. Isn't he one of the people who's been...
I know... so little about this, but I think it's very exciting.
Well, thank you for jumping in all the same. Well done. Over to Glenn in Round Top. Glenn, you're on.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
You heard you talking about the deer flies. We used to call them quarter pounders up there.
Quarter pounders.
Because when they bit you, they took a quarter pound of flesh out of you.
Nice.
My God, you would bleed like a pig.
Thank you for that image. I appreciate it.
But I'm a 26er. I didn't do the 46. I did as many as 26 hikes up there. I lived close to 40 years up there. But the key is to stay on the trail. Because let me tell you, I speak from experience here. I went up the back way up Ampersand one time through the scrubs. Thank God I have my dogs with me. It started getting nightfall. I didn't know where I was, and I just yelled to the dogs, let's go home and eat, let's go home and eat. And I just kind of followed the dogs out, and they finally led me back to the main trail, back to the truck, and I got out of there. And I was so thankful.
Well, that's great.
Collar lives in Round Top?
Yeah.
Is that where you, so do you spend much time over by the Riedelbauer Resort there?
Yeah, I'm right down the road. Yeah.
Oh, we love that there. They tons of great mountain biking in there. We love that region and beautiful.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, and there's a great mountain bike club. And again, wherever there's mountain biking, there's hiking. You know, just because it's a mountain bike trail doesn't mean you can't walk
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah, but I walked on the trails too for the ADK club years ago too.
Well, thank you for that. And you gave me an opportunity to preach a little bit, and that is that it is very important when you're hiking, particularly during the mud season. We encourage you to stay off the trails during mud season. But if you are going to hike when it's wet, it's important to walk down the center of the trail and not try to keep your boots dry by walking on the sides of the trail so that the vegetation gets trampled.
Yeah.
And you go from a nice 18-inch tread to maybe a 4 or 5 foot mud.
Same thing
hole.
Goes for cycling.
Excellent.
And there is a bone of contention with the bikers with the trails. I've heard that. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's...
They get down to the roots and stuff like that.
Yeah. I know for sure that at Riedelbauer's in particular, the Round Top Mountain Biking Association is very conscientious about that sort of thing. And they do, you know, have certain advisory days where they, you know, recommend that the cyclists stay off the trail.
Yeah.
And I know that everybody's very respectful of that.
Yeah. The caller mentioned bringing his dogs with him. Neil, is that a common thing?
Yes. Often people do bring their dogs with them. I think it's very important that the dog be either leashed or under control, because not all people are going to be used to your dog.
Right.
And I know my wife is very concerned when she meets a dog that comes bounding up to her, because she has no idea what that dog is going to do.
We bring our dogs all the time.
On bikes?
Always.
Does the dog get their own bike?
Yep, it's got 4 pedals.
No, really?
No.
How do you do that, though? You have to go very slowly for the dog, right?
Are you kidding? My dog is fast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, Ray, just one other comment about staying on the trails, which is absolutely, for many reasons, a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But occasionally someone might lose the trail and get lost. One other safety item to bring with you is a whistle. a whistle like a coach would have. Because if you fall or get lost, your cell phone might not be working. You can't yell for help, but you can keep blowing a whistle, and that just might be the signal that brings someone to you.
That's a good idea.
And it is remarkable how far a metal whistle can be heard.
Mm. And it's interesting about how many of these, these kinds of items that you talk about, there's a lot of crossover. So if you're into hiking or if you're into biking, a lot of those safety items, a lot of those, the clothing and all that, a lot of that crosses over. So it's kind of the same principle, layers, waterproof clothing.
Do you bring patch kits for your tires?
Generally what we recommend for cycling is you want to have hydration, number one,
right?
So whether that's a water bottle in a cage on your bike, or you can get what's known as a hydration pack. Osprey is a really cool brand, where you're carrying your water on your back, and then that doubles as a backpack. And so some things that you definitely want to bring: plenty of water, bring a snack, because you might end up being out longer than you anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
Bring a spare tube, tire levers so that you can fix a flat on the trail, and a pump, a portable air pump.
Yeah.
Bring that with you too. And your cell phone.
Always handy. Yeah. Let's go to Gary and Troy. Gary, you're on.
Hello?
Hello? You're on.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? You're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, it's Jerry.
Oh, hi, Jerry. Yeah, nice to have you here.
Thank you. I just wanted to make some comments about the Adirondack Hiking Club. We were members my partner and I were members for many, many years of the Albany Club, and participated in the work weekends and trail days. And I have to tell you, they were some of the best times we ever had.
Well, we appreciate that, Jerry.
Yeah. And my partner is actually, he's a 46er. But he's now disabled with Parkinson's, and I'd like to know what were some of the resources. There was a gentleman who spoke a little while ago about resources for people in wheelchairs.
Well, let me suggest that the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation takes accessibility for everyone very seriously. And there is a wonderful person that works for DEC, Carol Frazier. And you can reach her. She's on the DEC website, and she is an encyclopedic knowledge of opportunities for people in wheelchairs to get out and see incredible things like great waterfalls, great vista views. So good thing to contact her.
All right, Jerry, thanks a lot for the call. Now we'll go to a Gary. Gary in West Haven, Vermont, you're on.
Hi. I've been around rattlesnakes most all of my life, and I don't mean to alarm anybody, but they are out when the black flies get established.
Okay. Anybody want to comment on that? Frightening prospect?
It's fairly common in certain places in New York State. For example, on some of the Catskill Peaks, you will see rattlesnakes sunning and on some of the ledges in the spring. But usually you detect the snake, and the snake wants to stay away from people.
Yeah.
And so you can avoid the snakes. The important thing is just to stay away from them.
Okay. And what do you do if you're bitten?
Well, if you're bitten...
They're not fatal, are they?
Well, a rattlesnake bite, it can be a very serious injury. And the important thing is to try to get help as quickly as possible.
Okay, what if you're out in the middle there? Well, out in the middle of nowhere.
Well, there are snake bite kits. It's kind of controversial as to how effective they are. I think the best thing I could recommend is prevention.
Okay. Let's go to Adrian in New Paltz. Adrian, you're on.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, hello. Ray, this is Matt calling.
Oh, how are you?
I'm good. Hey, I'm about ready to do some rail trail rides. The weather's gorgeous. I want to alert all the listeners to the fact that our wonderful bus service, Ulster, Dutchess, have bicycle racks. Primarily, they're carting these kids' bikes going to college classes. But guess what? It works great for a rail trail adventure. You park your vehicle at one end, get on the bus with your bicycle, take a nice long ride, get off, and your bicycle one direction only. You see all the scenery. You probably pedal twice as far as you would otherwise. You don't have to call anybody to come and get you. And the bus service loves the extra ridership, as Mike Hine likes to say.
All right, Samantha.
I love that idea. definitely. Anything that can reduce carbon footprint while you're getting out and enjoying nature is an excellent plan. And I also like the idea of using a bus as a point-to-point shuttle. That's just, thank you for that. That's
and I think they
idea.
Have that in Albany as well. We are done. This was a very fun and quick hour. Thanks to Tad Ames, Neil Woodworth, and Samantha Moranville for being here today. Thank you all for the calls. Support comes from Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York, specializing in distinctive eyewear, including Zenka from Paris and Coco Song from Italy. Eye exams by appointment. EYEDENTITY Eyewear, Albany.com. Watercolors by Edith. Shutesbury, Massachusetts. Edith Hunsberger, a painter in acrylic and watercolors, specializing in portrait paintings of people and pets from photographs. Edith-Hunsberger.artistwebsites.com. Nine Pin Cider, Albany. Hard cider made from local apples. Tasting room featuring New York cider, beer, wine, and spirits. Tuesday through Sunday. Now available in Massachusetts. Ninepincider.com. And HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting The Foreigner by Larry Hsu, weekends April 22nd through May 7th at the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org. Thanks once again to Tad, Samantha, and Neil for being here. Thanks again to you for listening and for the great calls. Your phones were answered by Deb Malik, our engineer, Zach Malloy, our producer, Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, well, it's a Food Friday. And Food Friday Hall of Famer Deanna Fox will be here to talk about making most of our eggs.